Continue today with a theme that we began with at the beginning of February, and that is revolving about our sharing God's grace with the community purpose statement. This is the last in a series of four messages on how we can do a good job of reaching others with the gospel of Christ. Starting next Sunday, which is the first Sunday in Lent, I'm going to start preaching through the Gospel of John, and in particular looking at the seven I Am statements that are contained within John's Gospel. But for today, I'm going to start by reading the first scripture reading, which is Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Psalm 121. This reading is not included in your bulletin today, but I felt it led to add it this morning. And it comes from the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 9, where it says that Jesus was traveling through all the towns and the villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he looked upon the crowds, he had gut-wrenching compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Key word there is compassion. The Lord looked at the people, had gut-wrenching compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. There is that aspect of reaching others for Christ that begins with compassion. It's only when we're filled with compassion for others that we will take the next step to reach out to them in Christ in some way. From Hebrews chapter 12, first three verses, therefore, he begins, and he just talked in chapter 11 about all the people in the Old Testament who had faith. He makes a list of starting with, Abel and Abraham and Moses, and he lists all the prophets, all the people that we know from the Old Testament who were filled with faith. And he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Will you pray with me? Lord, our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this, your word. And I would pray, as always, that this written word will be reflective of the will of the living word, even Jesus, our Lord. That you will help me to help all of us be re-inspired to reach others with the gospel message of Christ. For when this happens, we will take great joy and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a little girl in a third grade class one day at school, and the teacher had just given them directions about coloring a picture. She told all the kids, "I want you to color a picture." She gave them blank paper and set of crayons, colored pencils, whatever. and told them to begin to draw. And the teacher began to make her way around the room as they were drawing. And she happened to notice after a few minutes that one little girl didn't seem to be drawing anything, but was just kind of lost in thought for a while. And so she started to keep an eye on her, and she just kept thinking and thinking and thinking. And finally, she saw the girl pick up her pencil and about to draw something. And she walked over to her, and she says, What are you going to draw today? She says, I'm going to draw a picture of God. And the teacher says to her, well, honey, no one really knows what God looks like. And without missing a beat, she said, they will in a couple minutes. I would like to say that the little girl had her eyes fixed on God. I'd like to say the same thing about the writer of the 121st Psalm. I will lift up my eyes into the hills. From whence does my help come? My help cometh from the Lord, if I might quote the old King James. We don't know the historical context behind the writing of the 121st Psalm, as some of the Psalms are introduced with a little bit of context, but not this one. But it's not hard to imagine that for one reason or another, this psalmist was kind of downcast. His very first line, that I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, is kind of a clue that tells us that prior to that time, he was probably looking down, and he's decided, he's made a decision. Somebody has encouraged him, as he is encouraging us today, that when there's a tendency to be downcast for whatever reason, that we need to lift up our eyes, gaze toward heavenly things, and be reminded of the Christian hope that awaits us all. That's good counsel for those of us who live or work or play in Chippewa Lake. Because there's a sadness that has been pervading the community. Ever since last Tuesday, we learned that Mr. Brian Macron, who many of us had been praying for 2 months, was indeed gone. We are sad. We are sad for him because he was much too young for this to happen to him. We are sad for his wife and his 3 daughters. We're sad for the community. My disciple Bible study class the other night, Nancy Carr told all of us that she was taking a walk around the lake and ran into a neighbor, and they were talking about this event, this tragedy, and her neighbor said to her, there just seems to be a sadness over the lake. 8 of the 12 people that are in that disciple Bible study class pretty much live here in Chippewa Lake. And for the first 25 or 30 minutes of the class the other night, I thought it would be well if we just had an opportunity to share our feelings about this event that has impacted us. And I don't remember for sure which one it was. It doesn't really matter. But the consensus of the group, and somebody kind of said this, is that Chippewa Lake has a reputation for being a family place, a friendly place, a place to have fun on the lake. But now it just seems like there's a shadow over the whole community. It is indeed true that life is full of shadows. Shadows of doubt, shadows of fear, grief, sickness, shadows of death. And in times like these, as someone once said, they try our souls. When it seems that we're about to be engulfed in the shadows, we just need to be reminded to look up, as the psalmist advises us, to look up, to gaze heavenward, to be refilled with the Christian hope that we hold dear to our hearts. To, as the writer to the Hebrews said, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we just need to keep looking up. The upward look. The upward look. The upward look leads to hope. The upward look leads to hope. Gail and I went over to visit with Bob and Sharon Petruna this past week. Many of you know them as worshipers here, and many of you have prayed for them over the last couple years as Sharon battled with cancer. And it just seemed that she won one bout of cancer when she's been diagnosed now with a second, completely different kind of cancer. And she had surgery a couple of weeks ago to remove a tumor, but they know that there's still some spots on her lung. And she told us that she's waiting to hear whether she's going to be able to receive this new therapy, this immunology kind of therapy that she said has either one of two results. It's either very effective or the side effects are very, very grave. And after she told us what's going on with her now, I said, Sharon, how's your faith holding up? She says, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. But that doesn't matter. What matters is that God's will is going to be done, and I'm okay with that. Because she's filled with Christian hope, you see. She reminded me of a story of a mother and her six-year-old daughter that went to Walmart shopping one day. When they got all done shopping, they came out, and they noticed it was just pouring down rain. And they gathered with about 15 or 20 other people who were in the lobby of the Walmart waiting for the rain to subside so they could all go to their cars. And all these people were standing there talking. And this little girl said to her mom, finally, after about 10 minutes wait, Mom, let's run through the rain together. And Mom says, no, we can't do that. We'd get soaked. And the little girl said, that's not what you said this morning. And her mother said, what did I ever say this morning about being able to run through the rain without getting wet? She said, I overheard you talking to Dad about his cancer this morning. And you said, if God can get us through this, He can get us through anything. After that little girl said that, the only thing those people standing there with that mother and daughter could hear was the rain for several minutes. The mom was thinking, how am I going to respond to this? Because she realized she had a teachable moment here with her little girl. And finally the mom said, yep, let's do it. Let's run through the rain. And so they took off running through the rain, trying to dodge mud puddles and around cars. And yeah, they got soaked. But somewhere down the road of life, that mother is going to look back on that day. And she's going to smile and maybe chuckle, and her heart will beat a little faster as she remembers the day that she encouraged her child to run through the rain, knowing that God was going to get them through that. You know that old saying that a little rain falls in all of our lives. What I'm saying to you today is, when that happens, like it has now, we must remember to look up. To look up. To keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, for therein lies the Christian hope. William Barclay talks about this Christian hope in words that I could never put together in his commentary of the book of Revelation. He said, God is the great Savior, the great deliverer of His people. And the deliverance which He gives is not the deliverance of escape, but the deliverance of conquest. It is not a deliverance which saves a man from trouble, but one which brings him triumphantly through the troubles. It does not make life easy, but it does make life great. It is not part of the Christian hope to look for a life in which a man is saved from all trouble and distress. The Christian hope is that a man in Christ can endure any kind of trouble and distress and remain erect all through them, and come out to glory on the other side. That's good. That's good. That is the message that people in our community need to hear right now. That is the message. You and I need to be people who are ready, willing, and able to convey the message of the Christian hope to people who do not have it right now. It's a living hope, you see, as Peter writes in his first letter to the church. We have been born anew to a living hope. It's a living hope because Christian hope is not just wishful thinking. Christian living hope is based upon the sure promises of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And indeed, in this case, when Peter says it's a living hope, it comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why we are born anew into a living hope, because it comes through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and it encourages all of us to know that because he lives, so shall we someday. And then Peter goes on from there, and he says, now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through the many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. You love him now, even though you've never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust in him, and you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. The salvation of our souls, and the salvation of the souls who are yet to be reached with this message about a living hope. We just need to do all we can, we who are already have one foot in the kingdom, to invite those who are yet to come in, to come in. And the truth is there are many people who don't feel like they are worthy to come in for one reason or another. I know several people in the community here that I've talked to over the last few years who feel like they have gone so far astray that God could never love them. But that is not true. God is a God of grace and mercy and willing to accept all who come to him. In my disciple Bible study class last week, we were reading the Gospel of Luke. It's my favorite gospel. It has the most wonderful theme. The theme for last week was God seeks the, and you disciple grads can repeat this with me if you wish to, God seeks the least, the last, and the lost. That's a wonderful message coming from the Gospel of Luke, that all are welcome into the kingdom. I love this little story about two soldiers who were the friends of a third soldier who was killed in France during World War II. And they wanted to give their friend a decent burial and happened to be nearby a church. And when it knocked on the door of this Catholic church and a priest came to the door and they said, our comrade has fallen. Can we bury him here in the cemetery that surrounds the church? And the Catholic priest said, no, you can't bury him in this cemetery. It's only for Catholic people. But feeling sorry for these two soldiers who wanted to give their friend a decent burial, the priest said to them, but you can bury him outside the fence. Put him on our property just outside the fence. And so they buried their friend outside the fence and had a little service there, and they said prayers. They were grateful for the priest for allowing them to bury their friend. When the war was over, they decided to go back and visit their friend's grave. But they couldn't find it when they got there. And they went and they knocked on the door and the same priest was there. And they said, we can't locate our friend's grave. What happened here? And the priest said, I felt so ashamed after you guys went away. That night I felt so bad that I told you to bury him outside the fence. That over the next few days I went outside and I moved the fence to include your friend. That's what God in Christ has done for every human being on this planet. You see, he's moved the fence. And we have the privilege and the honor of letting people know that wonderful message, that God has moved the fence. It's our privilege and honor to welcome others into the kingdom in any way, shape, form we can, especially in a time like this. In a time like this, that purpose statement back there takes on new significance. Sharing God's grace with our community takes on a new significance for me. It stirs me up. Because I want all people to know, as Paul tells the Thessalonians, that when sad things like this happen in our lives, we will grieve, but we will not grieve as those who have no hope, Paul says. Paul affirms to the Thessalonians, we will not grieve as those who have no hope. We have hope. We just need to reach others so they have the same hope that we have. So what can you do? What can we do, practically speaking? Number one, pray. That is the first thing that we need to do, is pray. I would ask you to continue to pray for Brian Macron and his family, that they would be filled with the peace that passes all understanding, and that they would be filled with the living hope to see their loved one again someday in heaven. We need to pray for those who worked with his colleagues, Lafayette Township trustees, and especially the fire department, who were his friends and so close, and they are in need of our prayers. We need to pray for our community, that God would stir up in the people of this community a desire to know him. I would ask you, we enjoy here at Cross Point Community Church. First thing we need to do is pray. The second thing that we can do as individuals is to tell our story. Tell our story. Gail put an insert in the bulletin today about telling your story. I've passed this out to you several times before, but we can never see it enough. It's just a little handout based on Paul telling his story in the book of Acts. And you could tell your story, and if you've never written one, I want to challenge you to use that handout to compose your story, which essentially looks at, this is my life with Christ. This is how I have faith in Christ. This is how I came to faith in Christ. And thirdly, this is how my life has changed as a result of knowing Christ. It's a simple story, and all of us can and should write our story and be prepared to share it with others as a way of helping them to understand the Christian hope. Peter says, always be ready to share your story with someone. Always be ready. So if we're going to be ready, we need to write our story. I encourage you to take that little handout and write up a paragraph. It doesn't need to be very long. In fact, the shorter the better. Sometimes we write stories and we tend to write 5 or 10 pages. But you really can't tell people a 5 or 10 page story in just a couple minutes. So be brief, but cover those three aspects of your story. It's important to tell our story. And if your story somehow involves coming to this place and finding grace, and you're not really sure what to tell in your story, by all means, at least invite someone to come. Invite someone to come. You know, 80% of people like yourselves say that they sit in pews like you're sitting in right now, or chairs as it is here, because someone invited them. Not because a result of the pastor or a Sunday school class or anything else. 80% say it was because someone they knew and trusted invited them to come. Those are some of the things that we can do individually and collectively. Let me conclude by saying that this stuff is very, very important. It's very, very important because we're dealing with the ultimate issue of life, you know, and that's death. There's a lot of things any church could get involved in drug addiction. In fact, we're going to get involved in that. Church could be involved in education, feeding the hungry, taking care of homeless people, and the list could go on and on and on. But you know what? We could take care of all the social ills in the world, and the fact of the matter is that someday you and I are going to be standing in eternity. That's right. We're all going to be standing before the Lord our God someday. Doesn't matter if I join the rec center and start running 5 miles a day and take the multivitamins that Gail wants me to take. Doesn't matter in 15 or 20 years or so, maybe less, none of us knows, I'm going toes up. And then I will find out. Then I will find out the truth of whether we are creations of God or not. For we are either complex neurophysical beings moving through time and space without rhyme or reason, having come from nowhere and going nowhere, or we are holy creations of the holy God. It's one or the other. If this is all some kind of a cosmic accident, some kind of cosmic practical joke, worst thing about that joke is that in the end, there's not even going to be anybody around to laugh at it. But if, on the other hand, this is our Father's world, and He loves you and I so much that He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, into this world specifically to die on a cross so that my sin and your sins could be forgiven and we could be reconciled to our Heavenly Father and look forward to going to heaven someday. If that be true, then somebody has to stand up and boldly proclaim that message. And the somebody that's given that task is you and me, the Church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You and I are given that task. So this is important stuff what we're talking about today. Gordon MacDonald writes, "The world can do almost anything as well as or even better than the church. You need not be a Christian to build houses or feed the hungry or heal the sick. There's only one thing that the world cannot do. It cannot offer the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the church can do that." That's what we're called to do and be, together, collectively and as individuals. This is important stuff. So I want to conclude with an inspiring story, at least it inspired me. Actually concerns the Titanic. As much as that story's been told since 1912, there's always something new, it seems, about the Titanic. Did you just read a couple of weeks ago now that they discovered that when the Titanic left Southampton, the port in England where it left, that there was a fire burning in one of the coal bins down below when that left port? And the captain and the crew knew about it and knew they could contain the fire, but what they didn't count on was the fact that that heat from that fire would weaken the steel in the side of that ship. And now they say that that's the reason that iceberg was able to sink that ship so quickly. Another story that just came to light to me this past week about the Titanic concerns a man by the name of John Harper. And this is the greatest story that ever came out of that whole thing as far as I'm concerned. John Harper. He left Southampton to come to Chicago, where he had been hired to become the pastor of Moody Church in Chicago. He had his daughter Annie with him on board. She was 6 years old at the time. His wife had died 3 years earlier. When the Titanic struck an iceberg, John Harper began to run all over the ship, and he said, "Women and children and unbelievers to the lifeboats as quickly as possible." Women and children and unbelievers, is what he told people. And when the ship went down, he'd already given his life preserver to someone else, so he was floating on a piece of wood or something, I don't know what it was, but he was floating along trying to talk to other people who were in the water. And he floated up to one particular man who was also grabbed hold of a piece of furniture or something, and John Harper said to him, "Are you a Christian?" And the man said, "No, I don't believe that I am." And John Harper quoted the Apostle Paul, "Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." And Harper floated away. He saw some other people, and he was kind of dog paddling. He wanted to talk to some other people. But a little while later, he came back to the same guy, and he says, "Are you a Christian yet?" And the man says, "I cannot honestly say that I am." And so John Harper said the same thing he said before: "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." And then this man said that John Harper went down shortly thereafter. 4 years later, this same man was sitting in a church in Hamilton, Ontario, and shared his testimony of how that happened to him. And he said, "There I was, floating in the water, with the stars above me and 2 miles of water underneath me, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ." And he said that I was John Harper's last convert. What an inspiring story. At the last moment, he was doing all he could to help others into the kingdom. And so let it be said of us, my friends, that with our last collective breath, as it were, that you and I at the Cross Point Community Church would do everything in our power to share God's grace with our community. Let it be said of us that we did so by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, it is times like these that try our souls. Our hearts go out to the Macron family. We can only imagine what they're going through. We can only pray that your peace, that the Bible says passes all understanding, will somehow break through, fill their hearts and minds with Christ Jesus. Give them that living hope that St. Peter talked about, that living hope that's based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And because He lives, so shall we live. We pray for those who know them well and who surround them with their love, that they would continue to be enabled by your grace to do just that. We pray that they would feel the love that the community has for them at this sad time in their lives. I thank you for the awesome opportunity, Lord, to be part of a church that's all about sharing the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. And we would pray that as this flyer goes out this week, that those in the community who pick it up and read it will be touched by your love to want to respond to the grace and the invitation being offered to them. For it's our great desire that more and more would step into the kingdom and experience the hope that fills our hearts. Help us when we have an opportunity to speak our story to someone who needs to hear it about how you've had an impact in our lives, how your church has had an impact in our lives. We ask all these things for the sake of the one who came into this world and gave his life for us, even Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray this prayer in his name. Amen.